all heard it before. It's who you know. Now hear why it's so true. Welcome to Social Capital, a weekly podcast where we dive into social relationships and how the investment you put into them establishes trust, reciprocity, and value within your network and community. Your host, Lori Hybe, will connect with top professionals and dive into their best networking stories and techniques to share with you.
Hey everybody, Lori Hybe here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at LJ Hybe and on Facebook. This week's guest is Mike Going. Mike is a recognized leader in the travel industry, specializing in corporate turnarounds and top and bottom line growth. A people-oriented leader and manager, his experience has taught him to motivate team members and clearly communicate the goals and objectives that need to be accomplished. From helping to take Alamo Rent-A-Car from a $400 million domestic company to greater than $2 billion in global revenues, to CMO, then president of Funjet Vacations, his successes are numerous. Mike brings deep experience in selling, marketing, operations, and financial management, but his greatest joys in his career have been the development and strengthening of relationships with customers, suppliers, and most importantly, his team. Mike, welcome to the show.
Lori, thank you so much, and I'm a little daunted by my own bio. I gotta live up to all that right now. I guess this is where the rubber hits the road.
Well, it's very impressive, and I'm sure you're gonna have lots of good insights to share based on your experience.
We can only hope.
So you've obviously had a lot of experiences. I'm curious, what is the best communication advice that you've ever received?
It's interesting. And I think sometimes the best advice we get does come from our parents, but it takes you a while to realize that it does have that kind of weight and value. But my dad, at an early age, told me, Michael, and it was probably Michael John, which is when he was being serious, God gave you two ears and one mouth, use them proportionately. Mm-hmm. And I think, Lori, why that's good advice for me is listening is an art form, as far as I'm concerned. You have to listen to have a healthy exchange of ideas. And boy, is that when he gave it to me probably some 30 years ago to today, remain true and perhaps become even more true that I think there's a societal push to, you know, tweet it out, blast it out. My opinion's been heard,
yep,
or at least sent. And then you fall down on the dialogue, exchange of ideas, aspect of true communications and understanding. So it's always served me well. Some people say I don't obey it as often as I should, but it's always served me well.
No, I agree with you in that today there's a lot being pushed out, mm-hmm, in front of you, which is a one-way street then, right? That communication has to go both ways. So the listening is really where you learn.
No doubt. No doubt.
Really sound advice from your dad.
Yes. I spoke to him in the car on the way down today. So he sends his regards to the entire audience. You know?
Fantastic. Well, so you are in the travel industry. I am, I've got an assumption here, but what are your hobbies and what do they do for you?
Okay. The hobbies that I sort of actively pursue are those that really challenge or enrich the creative side of my brain, because business is generally so linear.
Uh-huh.
Not always, but to foster creativity, we'll immerse ourselves. My wife Nancy and I were big gardeners. I really enjoy cooking. We love music. We love live music. We love art, architecture, history, nature, bird watching, you know, just things that round you out as a person,
mm-hmm,
really fall under the hobby portfolio for us. You know, I'd say golf, but I'm not good at good enough at it for it to really be a hobby. I love it.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it incorporates a lot of those other elements.
The nature, the
nature,
outdoors,
design, yeah. outdoors, and friendships and yeah. things like that. It's just fun. And when you've seen me play golf, you know creativity is definitely required.
Okay. Well, I can definitely relate to that. I imagine that you've got a full schedule.
Reasonably.
Often.
Yeah.
There's always something to do, whether it's in all those categories.
Yeah.
The winter months, though, that's more indoors. That's probably more the cooking and the artsy stuff.
Right? It is. But, you know, when you're an avid gardener, you spend the winter planning for what you're going to do on the first
sure.
day of spring.
Yep.
And, you know, It's consumptive. We probably have we need a 12-step gardening program around our house and property. Cooking does occupy a lot of our time in the wintertime.
Yeah, if there was only more time for me to do that, I would definitely love to continue. I get engulfed with the all the cooking shows.
They're I love them.
Inspiring. You know, if they can do that, I can do it.
Yeah, well, I made ceviche the other day because I watched Rick Bayless do it on TV. And it's like, I think I can do that. And it was very edible.
Oh, well.
Yeah, it came out okay.
Okay. Would you make it again?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And I might actually follow a recipe versus just going from memory.
That's what I've learned. Ask my husband, not did you like it, but do you want me to make this again?
Yeah.
And then
does
I get the honest
a second
answer.
Try. Yes. Is this a second date meal, you know?
Oh, that's where it really comes from. All right. How about a question that I'm sure is going to offer tons and tons of insight to our listeners. You've definitely met a ton of successful people in your career. What have you noticed as far as a common attribute?
Yeah, I've been very privileged in the people, both famous, infamous, and real underdogs that I've been able to meet and interact with. But successful people, I have found there's a few commonalities.
Uh-huh.
They put the work in. And, you know, there is really very few shortcuts to that. That if you do the work, you get down to good muscle memory, good sort of performance muscles, you really get some competency going. But it doesn't just happen in an overnight success mm-hmm. or you know, by pure luck. I also find successful people are phenomenally resilient. And, you know, a setback isn't a setback. It's a learning opportunity. You know, Thomas Edison had that great quote of, you know, if I failed 872 times, that's 872 ways I learned not to do something.
Yep, yep.
You know, resiliency is something that's required because, you know, hey, let's face it, life can be a little hard, you know, on the person, on the soul, on the endeavor. You know, you're going to find some challenges.
Oh, absolutely. And in the perspective of the learning opportunities, I think is critical.
Absolutely. You know, don't look at everything as a failure. Look at everything as something that you gain something from it.
Mm-hmm.
And the last is I found great commonality that these folks are passionate, joyous, grateful, and positive people. And if they've made it big and they're a top-tier actor or an athlete or a business person, they're grateful for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they know that they got themselves, but an awful lot of people contributed to their success.
Yep.
They share that gratitude. They share that positivity. I've just noticed that to be a good leadership quality in successful people, that they're open and real passionate about and happy about what they're doing.
Yeah. I think passion is important.
Yeah.
It really is. And because that does bring you joy. If you're passionate about something, you're going to be happier.
It should.
Hopefully. Really good. I like that, the, you know, putting the work in, the hustle every single day, and building the muscle memory. I think that's really insightful. Resilience, passion, positive attitude
yeah.
goes a long way. We need more of that today, don't we?
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, negativity tends to reign. It sells newspapers. It sells ads on TV, and it's just a not a healthy way to
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, unfortunately, that is what the media keeps pushing out. But let's talk about some
positive things. Not here. Today. This is the font of positivity and creativity.
Yep. My goal is to remove any sort of fear around networking.
Yeah.
Because networking, I found, has what's brought me to where I am today in my professional career. And I know a lot of professionals have evolved and gotten to where they are because of who they know, right? So can you share with our listeners your most successful or favorite networking story?
I can. And I tend to agree on networking in general. I mean, it's kind of the how things work, secret sauce of people fully evolving as people and fully evolving their relationships and themselves. My favorite interactions from a networking standpoint is when I can network with someone or make a connection that helps someone else. So, you know, if you are able to make an introduction and that person gets a better job opportunity out of it, or they get a promotion out of it, or they make a new friendship, or they, you know, can open up a whole new commercial avenue that they didn't anticipate before. Those are real positive things. I mean, you and I are the benefactors of one guy who introduced us both electronically. Right? So
which
a little shout out to Pat McGovern.
thanks, Pat.
for making that happen. But, you know, who knows where our relationship will go.
Sure.
But it's got great promise. And, you know, that's the fun part. But my favorite networking story. I'm the benefactor, okay? So this is going way back. I'm in Tallahassee, Florida, going to college, and I show up on the opening night of this bar opening, and it was cheek-to-jowl crowded. Just, I mean, a mob scene. And then I see a crowd of people parting like the Red Sea and a little tray of drinks seemingly levitating its way through the crowd. Well, underneath that tray of drinks was the cutest woman I've ever met and seen in my life, right? So I didn't go in that night because it was just too crowded, but I made myself a mental note. It's like, I have to meet that person. So I got a job at that bar.
Oh, nice.
And then I networked with the bar staff, like, what can you tell me about Nancy Nelson? Is she dating anyone? Is she doing all that? So the net result is the best benefactor of that networking story is me. And Nance may not say the same, but she's not here right now. And a great and wonderful and phenomenal marriage that's now probably older than you are, you know. So we've been married 37 years this year.
Okay, close just, enough.
Yeah, it's good. So,
congrats on that.
Yeah, it's just super fun. And she's outgoing. She is a good networker herself. And boy, does she make connections easily. So
that's good. What I like about this story is that you knew what you wanted and you kind of figured out what is the path to take and, in order to get there, and you took it.
It was a very, I guess, a calculated approach to at least get to meet this person.
Sure, yep. That's all you can ask,
I could have found out that she was dating someone or not interested in me or whatever. But you don't know if you don't ask.
Yeah.
You know?
No, that's a great story.
Yeah, it was fun.
So as you've evolved in your professional career, you've built quite an extensive network. As you shared, you've connected with a number of very successful individuals. How do you stay in front of or best nurture your network?
Yeah, I'll give you one thing that I do differently, but I'll also give you my little philosophy on networking as it sort of resonates with me.
Sure.
I envision two archery targets.
Okay.
One personal, one professional.
Okay.
They will commingle, but I do try to cultivate both networks somewhat differently and absolutely simultaneously.
Okay.
So there's crossover.
Sure.
There's people you meet in business that become some of your lifelong friends.
Absolutely.
right? And then there are friends that you can turn on to a business environment, but crossover aside, I'm very specific about, if you use that target analogy, focusing on the bullseye.
Okay.
Right? So the outer ring to me is that cast a wide net ring. Hey, you're still hitting the target, but these are folks you don't know if a relationship is going to turn into something important, turn into something, just sort of convenient. But I tend to focus more towards the middle of both targets.
Sure.
And one of the things I do, and I'm comfortable at it, is speak publicly, speak in front of people, big groups, small groups. And that's been a great accelerant to all of the other activity you do, old school, new school, social, regular phone calls, regular, hey, sure, let's grab a dinner, let's grab a lunch, let's grab a breakfast sort of activities. Has really helped me. It's helped separate me from other people who I sort of compete with for people's attention.
Sure.
You know, and I find it fun. Some people find it terrifying, but I think for people to have an opportunity like this, and then take that and go, I'm going to speak in front of my coworkers. I'm going to join a class to hone those skills. I'm going to stand up in front of 1,500 people and do this.
Yep.
Ooh, okay. Well, we've graduated.
Yep.
You know.
Baby steps.
Baby steps. You can get there. And there was one gal that I worked with that, super talented lady, had an absolute white knuckle panic about speaking publicly. It's like, you have to get over that. So I can help you get over that.
Yep.
And we worked on it and worked on it and worked on it. And she's good.
Nice.
You know, and it's helped her.
Yeah.
And by her own admission, she's like, I'm really glad you made me do that.
Yep.
So you may not always have a mic in your life to make you do it, but I would encourage people to just get out there, because it's easy to sit behind a screen all day and communicate. It's an effective tool.
I agree 100%.
Yeah, but being out there on different formats and really with people is a great separator.
Yeah, I've jumped into that speaking space a little bit myself. I mean, I do find it is a good way to nurture your network, because you're kind of hitting a lot of people at once.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously this is the podcast itself is a great way to stay in front of individuals. But I was like the story that you shared about the individual who was fearful. I was very, very fearful. And I think we all start at some point.
It's not natural.
No. But the more you do it, the more comfortable you get at it. And you can graduate from 2 people to 5 to 10 to 20 to 50 to 100 to 1,500.
Yeah.
You don't have to get in front of that group of 1,500 the first time you
do it. No, that might be ill-advised unless you're really good.
Yeah.
You know? But it gets back to put in the work.
Yeah.
You know, just find a starting point.
Mm-hmm.
Put in the work and see where it can take you.
Yeah. There's no shortcuts. Like
no,
you said.
Usually
you
not.
Know, it's something that takes time. There's resources. I found I did Toastmasters for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And I also, I found the most value in, I signed up for an improv class.
Fantastic.
And that was the best thing that I did for my own public speaking. I want to do it again because it was so much fun.
Oh, yeah. And that's hard.
Oh, yeah. It is scary.
To really be quick-witted in front of people and do improv, that's a gift.
It built my confidence.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say I'm super witty yet, but I just, I'm not afraid to say things, and they might sound funky to other people, but at least I'm saying them now, right? And again, that's something that evolves over time.
Sure. And I've also seen, there's this one guy who I like to follow, a guy named Scott Stratton.
Okay.
I don't know if you're familiar with him or not. He's a published author, but a very gifted speaker.
Okay.
So now he's pretty much evolved to the place where he does keynotes. He and his wife do podcasts. And his book is titled Unmarketing.
Oh, okay. I'm familiar. I know that brand.
Canadian guy.
I know the name Unmarketing. I don't know his name.
hilarious, wonderful, heartfelt, just a great human being and knows really how to put himself out there sure. socially. But him speaking, your mind is firing off quickly because he's saying things of high value.
Sure.
Your sides are hurting because you're laughing so hard. And to be able to engage both of those things at the same time, I mean, I just bow down to him when I see him, you know.
Well, you're probably exhausted too after.
Well, it's great. But the first time I met him, he and I are both on the same program. And here comes this guy. He's got long hair and he's got some ink on. And I'm just sitting there and I've got my little blazer on and my little corporate suit on, you know. And he goes, "Hey, are you Mike?" "Yeah, I'm Scott. I'm going on after you." And we just sat and chatted.
That's cool.
And it was just great, you know. And he knew enough to look at the program and goes, "Oh, okay, let's chit-chat."
Yeah.
And we chatted about family and being Canadian and
nice.
Some of my misadventures north of the border. And we had a great time. But and thankfully, I went before him, not after him.
Yeah, I bet.
But he's good. So yeah. Have a reference standard.
Yes.
Maybe is the point.
That's a really good point.
You know, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? Mm-hmm. I'd like to be that good.
Yeah.
I can compete, but maybe not for the gold.
Yeah. I like that. I think that's really good advice. Speaking of advice, what advice would you offer the business professional who's looking to grow their network?
Be careful. It's not just growth for growth's sake. That it's really cultivated and curated at the same time. You know, I think there are, you know, certain status symbols of, I've got 10,000 relationships. How do you maintain 10,000 relationships?
Sure. Yep.
I'm suspect, but I might be using the wrong definition.
Mm-hmm.
You have 10,000 connections.
Sure.
That means you're just hitting the yes button to anyone who asks in my world.
Uh-huh.
But be selective a little bit and curate and cultivate with a mindfulness that goes along with growth. And I think then the growth that will result will be really more high value than just net growth for net growth's sake.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's that the quality over quantity discussion.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that bullseye.
Yeah.
Right? You want a really solid, strong focal point.
Yeah.
And network.
And it does, it helps me because I'm fairly simple-minded to separate personal and professional a little bit, just intellectually.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, hey, have I called my best friends in the last week? Have I called my dad twice this week?
Sure.
Have I called my sisters once this week?
Yep.
You know, and if I'm not, I'm falling down on the most important relationships.
It's true.
In my life.
Yep.
You know, okay, check. Now I can move on to other things and go from there.
Yeah, that is really good. It's hard to separate the personal and the professional, I think, especially when you're in that What's the word I'm looking for? The growth,
up.
The ramp up part, you know, I mean, the hustle, that working, putting the time in. You don't want to forget about those personal relationships because oftentimes those are stronger bonds than the professional ones.
Yeah. Or that center of the target professional ones of who's your best mentor, who's your best coach, who's your best associate, and tell them and interact with them accordingly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. They're as important.
Uh-huh.
To your professional success.
Yeah, that's really good. Really good way to break it down. I like the simplicity of the message.
I need simple in my life.
I appreciate it. You don't want to think. There's too much other things you have to worry about.
A lot
about,
of noise.
Right?
Like I need some noise filters.
You started alluding to this a little bit. Digital networking or traditional networking, which one do you find more value in?
I think it's like, which of your kids do you love most? Again, the valuation, I think they're both highly complementary.
Yes.
And can be used and are used anywhere in that target zone,
mm-hmm.
right? If you wanted to generalize, I probably go, hey, my public persona or social persona, that's more for outer ring.
Okay.
Inner ring gets a little more intimate, a little more personalized. And it doesn't mean you're not going to use electronic mediums for those as well.
Sure. Yep.
But, you know, probably when it gets to valued relationships, center of the target stuff, I do find talking to people and listening to people and dialoguing with people to have the greatest value. But you just can't discount the importance of everything else.
Yeah. I like how you connected it to the bullseye and the target and using kind of the digital for that bigger picture because it's a wider reach.
Mm-hmm.
And that's casting that wide net as you kind of spoke to earlier. And then that intimate conversation, which, I mean, you can to some degree have that in the digital space, but it is the face-to-face that's more powerful.
Generally.
Yeah.
But, you know, generalizations can be dangerous, too.
This is true.
People that, you know, date online and wind up getting happily married. And that works, you know, beautiful.
But you're casting, yeah, that's true. You're casting that wide net.
Yep.
You start with the wide net, and then they kind of work their way into that bullseye.
Yeah.
Ah, cool. I like it. All right. So we did talk about your college years briefly.
and the less said about that, probably the better, Lori.
But, Mike, we're going to go back to your 20-year-old self.
Yeah.
What would you tell yourself to do more of, less of, or differently with regards to your professional career?
Yeah, and I think it's professional and personal both, but in our 20s, we're bulletproof. We're indestructible. We have no hindrances. And long term is lunch.
Yep.
Right? It's probably pay a little bit more attention to the long term, right?
Mm-hmm.
And start good habits early. Now, if you went back and said, hey, if I bought Microsoft, Amazon, and Facebook stock on day one issuance.
Yep.
Okay. Now, if anyone had the foresight to do all three of those, the last name might be Buffett, and,
sure.
And your first name isn't Jimmy.
Yep. No.
You know, how you're handling your investments, how you're handling your health and well-being, how you're eating, you know, six-pack of beer and a pizza, probably not your best choice.
Yep.
But at 20, you can get away with it.
Yeah.
At 40, you can't.
Nope.
And the further on you go, the more that long-term planning becomes more important, where you probably didn't even really see it in your 20s. Or if you did, I'll get to it.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you're 40 and it went, ooh, I better get to that.
Yes. Yep. So the starting the good habits early, I think, is really, really important. Because, it's so easy and you know everything. And then all of a sudden you wake up and go, at what point was I not able to eat this food? Because it just stays here.
I can now line up pictures of me in my life and go, oh, there was the point there. right there is the point that couldn't.
You can visually identify where
doesn't mean
where
I
things
didn't,
changed.
But it meant I shouldn't. But, you know, if you look at today in good habits and networking, for whatever someone can take from this podcast or your series.
Sure. Yep.
Start now.
Yes.
Because building a great network is a long-term project.
Absolutely.
It's not a short-term deal.
Yep.
So, you know, all the good habits that you espouse regularly here. People take them up.
Implement them.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And, you know, again, start with one.
That's it.
Master that. Start with another. Master that.
Yep.
Now you got two. Add a third.
Yeah. It's a snowball effect.
Yeah.
Nice. So I know we chatted about this briefly before we started recording this episode, but we've all heard of the 6 degrees of separation. So who is the one person that you'd love to connect with, and do you think you could do it within the 6th degree?
The person might surprise you, and I'm telling you, I struggled with this question. It's like, who do I want to meet? I don't know, you know? So I went with, after very thoughtful deliberation, Carlos Santana.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Now, why Carlos Santana? He's gifted musically. He is a very spiritual person. He is an entrepreneur. He is relevant today as he was when he started. So he's maintained the test of time. I just think he'd be a pretty cool cat to hang out with and learn from, you know. So that's why him. And do I think I can do it in six? I'd need a little luck, but I might be able to. Now it's okay. Like, great, we've booked a follow-up appointment for you, Mike, to see if you could do this. And where would I start?
Yeah,
really, start? I'd start with two people that I know that I've had the pleasure of working with.
Okay.
That both have great musical career backgrounds.
Okay.
Right? One person was very involved in Summerfest.
All right.
And artist production and artist handling. Another person was in the recording industry in New York.
Okay.
Right? And then my third card would be my dear friend Tom, who also worked in the bar with Nance and I in Tallahassee, who is now president of Virgin Voyages Cruise Line.
Nice.
Works for Mr. Branson.
Sure, yeah.
Right? Who I got to meet one time, and he's as cool as you think he's going to be.
I can only imagine, yep.
Richard Branson is the definition of cool. and he might know.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Given Virgin Records and all the stuff. So I got a shot at it in six. I wouldn't be so cocky to say, oh, yeah, I can definitely pull it off. But I have some
confidence in your abilities to make that happen.
Yeah.
You won Nancy over, and that was only two steps, maybe one step.
Right. And we get to sit in the studio together, so clearly, you know, I got a face for radio, people.
I bet you could make it happen. And
I
think you should try.
Yeah, I may.
I bet you're right. He'd be a super cool cat to hang out with.
Yeah, and another guy who just gave off an aura. And this is like, I can use the punchline. I've had lunch with the Dalai Lama. He was in a restaurant I was in. I wasn't sitting at the same table. But you want to talk about just a cool dude. It was this little dim sum restaurant in the Doral area of Miami. What he was doing there, I have no idea, but it's great dim sum. And he's hanging out like, you know, two Buddhas, three guys in suits. And, you know, they got a table of eight and they're sharing just like we're sharing. It's like, oh, my gosh, that's the Dalai Lama. And he was just laughing and having a good time and just a citizen of the world.
Being a real person.
Being a real person.
Everyone's just a human being.
And he didn't look at himself as anything more or less than that.
Yeah, I had a recent guest who initially the way she was answering this question was she wanted to meet Oprah. But then she was in Milwaukee recently and actually ended up having lunch in the same restaurant as Oprah. So she's like, I don't know if that's really doable.
It counts.
Like,
it counts.
Yeah. You saw her, you waved at her, you looked at her.
Right.
Nice. Okay. So an assumption I'm making, only because I know as a growing professional and who wants to lead to the best of my abilities and continuous learner. I assume that you've got some books on your nightstand right now that you're reading. Anything you want to share with us?
I just got my next round like yesterday.
Okay.
The Amazon box showed
up.
Yeah. And, you know, I do like holding a book. It's like, do you want to order it for your Kindle?
No. Nope, I'm the same.
Because then
way.
I can't give it to you and you can't give it to another friend if I like it. So the first one was called Lincoln in the Bardo.
Okay.
And it is written by a guy named George Saunders. And this is about the historical reality of Lincoln losing his son at a very young age.
Oh, interesting.
And the grieving process.
Yeah.
But then it gets metaphysical. It's supposed to be hilarious. It's supposed to make you cry. It's supposed to do all those things that a good novel will do for you.
Sure.
So that's for me, just for my person.
Yeah.
Right? Now, from a work standpoint, There's a book called Deep Work.
Okay.
And the guy's name is Cal Newport. And Deep Work is about the discipline now required to really do thoughtful work and taking away the distractions in a world that's set up to distract us all.
Wow.
Right? So, and there's a process.
Okay.
And it takes real discipline to follow this process. But his suppositions are pretty grand. I mean, they are, hey guys, artificial intelligence is coming. It's not going to replace your job. It's going to augment your job.
Yep.
In most cases.
Sure.
Right? But human beings right now, at this point in time, are becoming incredibly task-oriented.
Yes.
I'm responding to email.
Yep.
You know, I'm sending out social posts. I'm doing this stuff. And it's just task, 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 task.
Mm-hmm.
What's the bigger picture? What's the bigger message? Let me work on a project that
yep.
can turn into a published piece of work, can turn into a white paper that you can present to your boss that completely helps them execute as a business better than you sitting there doing rote routine work. This guy's really disciplined about it. He goes, this is going to be hard for certain people.
Oh, yeah.
Because we like the distraction. You know, your phone goes off and there's a little ding. And I let me just look at it.
Yep, yep.
Come on, I just got to look at it, see who it's from. It's like, what's more important than what you're doing right now?
Yep.
And you set the agenda, not the world sets the agenda. So I'm looking forward to both reads.
They both sound really interesting. The deep work and I like Lincoln and history.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
They both sound really good.
Yeah, you know, and they're definitely going to be two different experiences.
Yeah, I'm really interested in the process and discipline because I like structure,
mm-hmm.
But I do chase the squirrels and the shiny objects.
So. We all do. in many cases, you know, Lori, we're paid to do that.
Yeah, this is so, in our space, yes.
Yeah. We've got a new priority today.
Yes.
Wait a minute. Shouldn't my priorities be my priorities? You know.
But yeah.
they get given to us in many respects.
Very true. Very true. But I do appreciate that you've, even in your own personal hobbies with the reading, you've got the personal and the professional.
Yeah.
Nice. Any final word or advice to offer our listeners with regards to growing and supporting your network?
And I think just if you look at good advice that you could give to someone from a networking standpoint, have fun doing it. And that's just good life advice.
Absolutely.
Man, if you're not having fun, it's going to feel a lot like work. You're going to be downtrodden. You're going to turn a little more negative than positive. Come on, make it fun. And then really be authentic. There's only one you. There's only one me. In your case, the world's being undersold. In my case, they're being oversold. and that's not easily done. There's a lot of people that like putting up personas.
Sure.
It's like, pick the one that you are and mm-hmm. be it.
Yep.
And be it proudly.
Yes.
You know, I mean, very proudly, whether it's your views mm-hmm. on life, your views on lifestyle, your views on business, man, just be that. And I do think I'm emboldened by younger folks that are really confidently doing that.
Yes.
They're just gifted and good at it. And lastly, as you cultivate a network, be respectful and thoughtful as you ask people to join your network. I think there are some folks that really kind of assume an awful lot. Well, why wouldn't you want to join my network? Why wouldn't you want to be my friend on Facebook? Why wouldn't you want to be a LinkedIn connection?
Uh-huh.
Because I don't know you.
Yes.
Because I have nothing in common. We have no shared connections. And, you know, Not to say never, but where's this going?
Yes.
You know?
Yep.
And I think some people just randomly blast recruit.
I'm not a fan of that.
No.
I'm doing a little experiment on LinkedIn right now. And all those blind requests, I have a message. It's a canned message, but I crafted it well to just say that I really value the integrity of my network. And if they're interested in connecting, let's schedule a quick 10-minute phone call.
Yeah.
And I'd like to just get to know you a little bit more and what your intentions are as far as why you want to connect with me. Some people have not responded, you know, and they, well, okay, you answered my question, right?
Yeah.
And others have actually taken me up on it. And there was, you know, one or two people that went right for the hard sell. Like, okay, you're not I'm not interested in that. But I did create some interesting relationships that I want to take to the next level. So I just was.
But they'd be closer to you. That's a great experiment.
Yeah.
That probably should turn into practice for more folks,
yes.
Myself included. Is that I'm not that scientific about it. I just kind of look at the request, yes, no, yes,
sure.
No. And sometimes, you know, the mood strikes me. Sure, I need a travel writer in Yugoslavia.
Yeah.
Sure. You never know when that could come in,
sure.
Andy.
Yeah.
Sure.
There are definitely some people like, oh, yeah, okay, I see we have 10 mutual connections and I've heard your name a couple times and we're going to meet each other in person eventually. I know that's going to be taking the place.
And I do use the mutual connections.
Yeah.
You know, if we're not at 50.
Yeah. Two or three. That
A couple.
Not,
no,
yeah.
It's a non-starter.
No, it's been interesting, though. And
that's
figured,
fantastic.
You know, why I can't just sit and ignore them and make assumptions about that. So why not have the ask? And if this is about networking, let's connect then.
Let's do that.
Let's see what this is about and what is it that you are looking for and how can I help you or what are you offering? It's just been a couple weeks in the works, so I'm kind of assessing the results and I'm hoping to publish some of that data once I'm done with it.
You know, it's going to be cool. I think you're going to wind up with a more cultivated, right, what we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It's more cultivated than just growth for growth's sake.
Yes.
Sort of result.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
From that
being
effort.
Intentional to some degree.
Beautiful.
Your words of advice here were great. Have fun. I agree with that 100%. Be authentic. Be real. People can spot fake. You know,
and
no one wants to be with someone who's going to be fake and be proud. I think there's a lot of truth to that.
Yeah.
There's so much truth to that. And don't worry about, what other people think about you. You know, be confident and proud with what you've decided who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And absolutely 100% be respectful of those that you're trying to build a relationship with.
No doubt.
Really good.
Pretty
advice.
Easy stuff, isn't it?
It's simple.
Yeah. Now everybody just go do it all.
Yeah.
Listen to Lori. She'll tell you what you need to do.
No fear. Oh, Mike. All right. So if anyone was interested in getting in contact with you, what's the best way that they can reach you?
LinkedIn, Twitter, email. And I understand you guys are going to publish that in podcast notes. And
yeah, we'll put that in the notes. And then if anyone wants to reach out, they can definitely do that.
Absolutely.
Well, this was a great conversation.
I really enjoyed
our time together. And that's it for the show. So thanks so much for being on the show today, Mike.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
This wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you to Mike Going for taking the time to connect with us. Join us next week for another great guest as we continue the conversation on networking and building your community. If you need me, send an email to Lori@socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Be sure to visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to check out our free ebooks on business and networking.